You know, this morning was hard to figure out what I wanted to preach about. You know, just a little behind the scenes, one of the hardest things for a preacher to do is to figure out what to preach about on Sundays. This week was especially hard. There are four sermons that I want to preach this morning, and if you'll stick around with me, I'll preach all four of them. Apparently by your laughter, that's a negative response. But there are four sermons this past week that I wanted to preach today. I prepared all four of them in my mind thinking, which one am I going to do? There's a lot going on in our world right now. There's a lot of hate in our world right now, and we need to talk about that. We just can't talk about it today. It's led a lot of death in our lives recently. In this congregation and those that we love and those that are around us, and been a lot of suffering going on, but at the same time, there has been a love expressed from the Lord's church. It's been overwhelming. And I wanted to talk about that today. We've got other things that we've got to talk about today. You know, our theme this month, our theme for the year is At His Cross. And our theme this month is At His Cross, I Find Belonging. And here we are on August 20th, and we haven't said word one about that. We need to talk about that. But we can't talk about that today. There's four sermons I want to preach today, and I can't preach them all. So that leaves us with one that I figured we got to do this one because it's very timely. If we don't do it today, I might be dead by the time we get to preach about this again. So I thought, if we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? On August 21st, 2017, for those of you who need a little help, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow, there is going to be, if you haven't heard, a major event taking place. There is going to be a total solar eclipse going on tomorrow. And if you're not on Facebook, maybe you haven't heard of it because it's all over the place on Facebook. But this is a major, and somebody asked me this, Pat, what's the big deal about this? Well, it's a big deal because in this nation, we haven't experienced a total solar eclipse since 1979. That's a long time ago. That's a lifetime ago for some of you. And that was only in one part of this nation back in 1979. But in this country, there hasn't been a total solar eclipse that went from coast to coast. That's what's happening tomorrow. Coast to coast is going to experience this total solar eclipse. That hasn't happened in this country since 1918. That's a lifetime ago for some of you. That's a long time ago. And it has not been since 1880... that the United States was the only place in the world that you could experience a total solar eclipse. Tomorrow, in the U.S., coast to coast, and apparently only in the U.S., we're experiencing something that's rather unique. Well, what's it all about? It's going to take place where the moon comes between the earth and the sun and gives us a total sun, a total solar eclipse, where the moon is going to completely cover up the sun, or at least it will if you're in that band that's running across this nation. If you go and pick up that map, it's going to cover up the sun. I want you to think about that for a minute. The moon is going to cover up the sun. The moon is 2,159 miles in diameter. 2,159 miles in that's pretty big, isn't it? That's almost going from coast to coast in this country. But that's 2,159 miles wide is the diameter of the moon. But do you know how big the sun is? If it's 2,159 for the moon, the sun is 864,000 miles in diameter. That's big if you don't know. That's pretty big compared. Let me show you. You want to see a picture of the sun? Don't look. It'll blind you. No, it's okay. All right. This one's safe. Don't look tomorrow, okay? Here's a picture of the sun. Isn't it pretty? All right, here's the sun, 800, and it's not really, it's only about 10 feet here, but 864,000 miles wide. The moon is going to cover it up tomorrow. How can the little old moon cover this up when the little old moon is only 2,159 miles wide? If this is the sun at 864,000, watch closely. I'm going to show you on the screen, and comparatively, this is right down to the quarter, not even less than that. This is right down. I want to show you what the moon looks like in comparison to the sun. Are you looking very closely? Here's the moon. You see the moon up there now? I just put it up there. Do you see it? Nobody sees it? It's right. I can see it. Here, I'm going to move it for you. Watch closely. Okay? See if you... Do you see anything moving on the... Now do you see the moon? Somebody's like, I don't even see the sun. I don't know what you're talking about, the moon being up... Did you all see it? It's... I'm going to move it one more time. All right? Can you see it moving? That's the moon compared to the sun. Are you getting an idea of just how small the moon is compared to, in case you haven't picked it up yet, it is right there, okay? That's it. How can something that little cover up something that big? How is that even possible? Now, that's just talking about the diameter of the sun and the diameter of the moon. Somebody has figured this out, and I checked their math, and it's, well, if my math is wrong, then theirs is wrong, but if mine's right, then theirs is right. That's just talking about the diameter. If you talked about the volume of the sun compared to the volume of the moon, do you know how many moons you can fit inside the sun? 64.3 million moons can fit inside of the sun. That's a lot, right? 64.3 million moons could fit inside the sun. That's a lot. Somebody says, "I put that in terms that I understand." Okay, let me put it in terms that you could understand. Anybody ever been to Epcot? Anybody know what the Epcot ball looks like? Or it's not called the Epcot ball, it's called what? Spaceship Earth. But we call it the Epcot ball, right? So you've got the Epcot ball. You've been there. This thing stands 180 feet high. That's taller than the Palm Beach County Courthouse. Anybody ever been to the courthouse? Don't raise your hand because we might ask why you've been down there. But if you've seen, maybe you've driven by the Palm Beach County Courthouse and the Spaceship Earth is taller than that, okay? And if you took something a little bit larger than a softball and filled that up, it would take about 64.3 million of those things to fill that dude up. How can something the size of a softball eclipse something the size of Spaceship Earth? Or how can something the size of that little dot that nobody ever saw on the screen, how could it ever eclipse something as large as the sun? And what does that have to do with us? I want to ask you something about your life. Are there some things in your life that are pretty small, that are minute compared to other things? Are there some things in your life small compared to other things, but they eclipse the bigger things? They make the other things look like they are not even there, that they have disappeared, that there's been some kind of a solar eclipse in our life where something very small covers up something very big. I don't want to talk about just any old thing in our life. The transition that I want to make from the total solar eclipse that's happening tomorrow is to talk to us today about the fact that we can experience in our life a fatal soul eclipse if we are not careful. It is possible in our lives to allow something very small to eclipse something that's much more important, something that's much bigger, something that we really ought to be seeing. Tomorrow that sun is going to take, that moon is going to come across. You won't even know the sun is there. Is it possible some things like that can happen in our lives? Let me share a couple with you this morning. It has happened in too many of our lives where the material things, small as they are, eclipse those things that should be more important in our lives. Those things that should be big in our lives, where the material eclipses the spirit. Has that ever happened? And have you ever known anybody where the material things eclipsed the spiritual things in our lives? What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is when I allow material things like money and possessions, and even we could include here our entertainment. I could even include here my job. When I allow my material things to eclipse spiritual things in my life, to eclipse those things that really should be what is most important in my life, like my spiritual growth, like my serving the Lord, like my worship of God. Is it possible that material things, small and minute, could eclipse spiritual things that are much more important? How many lives have you seen that happen in? How many people's lives have we seen where, and we're talking third person here, but perhaps we should get a mirror out and say, wait a minute, has that ever happened in my life? Have I ever allowed, because I didn't put the word they up there, I put the word I up there. Is it possible in my life that I could allow things like money, things like a home and a car and the things inside that home and the car, and things, could I allow them to eclipse the spiritual in my life? Has it happened? Have you ever been in danger of that happening? Where someone might look at you and all they see is material. They don't see anything spiritual because it's been eclipsed. Get your Bibles out. I want you to look at a key verse that comes to mind when we start talking about material things eclipsing that which is spiritual. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. You know this verse where Jesus says, what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What's he talking about? Jesus is talking about gaining everything that's in the world. And what happens to your soul? It is eclipsed. You have everything that you ever wanted. But your spiritual life, your spiritual growth, your devotion to God and serving Him has been totally left behind and has been hidden behind those things that you have been pursuing. Is that possible for us? Is it possible in our lives that something like that could eclipse something that's so much more important? In your life, which one is bigger? What's bigger in your life? Are material things bigger to you, or are spiritual things bigger to you? Which one dominates in your life? In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter says, but giving all diligence, add to your faith. Giving how much diligence? Giving all diligence. Don't let material things eclipse your spiritual growth, is what Peter is saying. Give all of your diligence to grow in every way that you can. And you go down into verse 9 and 10 of that same chapter. And he says, and giving even more diligence, make your call and election sure. You gave all diligence in verse 5, but down in verses 9 and 10, you're supposed to give even more to make your call and election sure, so that material things do not eclipse spiritual things in your life. Brother, sister in Christ, I implore you to evaluate yourself. In light of the eclipse that will happen tomorrow, where the little old moon is going to cover up the big old sun, are we allowing material things in our lives to cover up spiritual things that should be more important in our life? Similar to that is that when we allow temporary to eclipse that which is eternal, which of those is bigger? If we were to put the picture of the sun back up there and the picture of the moon right back next to it, which of these is bigger? eternal or temporary? Is it possible that something that's just temporary could eclipse something that is eternal? Has that happened? What are we talking about? What we're talking about is when I allow my pursuits of life, when I allow my personal ambitions, what I want to do in life, where I'm going and what I'm doing, and I could we could even include here those things that tempt me. We could even include here those things that want to lead me away from where I am in my relationship with God, my personal fleshly pleasures. Those are temporary. But could I ever allow those pleasures and those pursuits and those ambitions to eclipse my focus on heaven? If I were to ask you to raise your hand if you want to go to heaven, I would suspect 100% of the hands in here would go up immediately. We all want to go to heaven, and that's why we're here today. But is it possible that we have allowed things that are temporary compared to heaven that is eternal? Is it possible that we have allowed that which is temporary to eclipse heaven in our lives to the point that we can't even see heaven because all we can see is our focus on this life? All we can see is our focus on those things that are temporary. Here's a key verse when it comes to talking about this. Look over in Hebrews chapter 11. I almost made this the scripture reading this morning. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. A great faith chapter. Talks about a number of the Old Testament faithful. But you come down to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, and it starts talking to us about Moses. And in verse 24, it tells us that Moses, when he became of age, when Moses had matured enough and became of age, the Bible says in verse 24 that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made up his mind that he was not going to continue to allow himself to be identified as, oh, you're the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You're royalty. He made a choice and said, that's not the way I want to be identified. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction. He made a choice to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary, read that word, passing pleasure of sin. Moses looked out and he saw the pleasures of sin. And he said, you know what? That's temporary. Moses looked out and said, I could have anything I want in this life. I am royalty. But he said, that is temporary. Look in verse 26, where it says, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? Look at the last six words of verse 26. Why did Moses make that choice? Because he looked to the reward. Moses fixed his eyes on that which is eternal. He didn't fix his eyes on the smaller things of the temporary and allow that to eclipse his focus on heaven itself. Moses made a hard choice. Wasn't popular. It would not have been accepted. It would not have been understood by people. Why would you do that? That doesn't make... You want to suffer with these people than to enjoy... That doesn't make sense. But Moses wasn't trying to make sense in the eyes of the people. He was trying to make sense in the eyes of God. Where are you today? Are we allowing our focus on the temporary things of this life to eclipse our focus on going to heaven? What's bigger to you? What's bigger? What we have here or going there? Our pursuits, our ambitions, and our pleasures here or doing all that we can to go to heaven? Colossians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 1, if you've then been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Don't focus on the things of this earth in verse 2. Don't focus on the passing things of this earth, but set your mind on things above, not here. Where is your mind today? What are you focused on today? Is it possible that something so minute like the temporary could eclipse in our lives something like eternity? Very briefly, I want you to consider that sometimes we allow our earthly suffering things that are happening bad in our lives. Sometimes we allow that to eclipse the heavenly glory that's been promised to us. Sometimes I allow the trials that come into my life, the hardships that come into my life. Sometimes I allow even the persecution that people bring upon me because I'm a Christian. Sometimes I get so focused on the negative and so focused on the bad things that are happening that I lose sight of something even better. That I lose sight of something that is awaiting. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 is your key verse on this, where Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he says, there's something even better than what's transpiring here. We focus on those things that are temporary. We focus on those things that are difficult for us. And Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present age, the suffering of the things that are happening in this world, he says the suffering of this present age is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Some of you have been dealing with life's problems for a long time. Some of you have been dealing with heartaches. Some of you have been dealing with pressures and persecution. Some of you have been dealing with trials from various places for a long time. And it's so easy to get so focused and so brought down and so wearied and so just destroyed almost by those things that we lose sight of. Wait a minute. Why am I allowing those things to be my focus? When I need to remember that there is a heavenly glory that's been promised to me if I am a child of God. Which one is bigger to you today? Sufferings that we're enduring or the heavenly glory that is promised to us? We need to do all that we can not to allow the negative things that happen to us in this life to become our focus. And the passage that was read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's what it says. Is that we don't focus on the temporary, we don't focus on those things that are temporal, we focus on that which is eternal. Because these things are passing away, but these things are going to last forever. Where are you today? Are you allowing the things that are happening on this earth to eclipse your focus on heavenly glory? Sometimes we look at it a little different. Sometimes my will eclipses God's will. Sometimes what I want becomes more important to me than what God wants. Sometimes the way I see things becomes more important than the way God sees things. Is it possible that I could allow my will to eclipse God's will in my life? So that if someone looked at me, all they would see, well, David's doing what David wants to do. Instead of somebody seeing, well, David's doing what God wants him to do. Key verse when we talk about this is obviously a great example of Jesus when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know what Jesus prayed. In Luke 22 and verse 42, Jesus prayed three times the very same thing. Lord, if it be at all possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Lord, if this can happen, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was staring at the cross. Jesus knew where he was going to be just hours after that. But Jesus was still of the mindset that, God, I'm not going to allow my will to eclipse your will. Lord, here's what I wish. Here's what I want. But Lord, please don't let my will eclipse your will. Do we pray that to God? You know, even in the prayer that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 6, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we pray that? Not in some trite way because we say it because, well, it's a part of that prayer and I just recite that prayer. Jesus didn't give that prayer so that we would just recite it. Do we pray with our hearts and with meaning, God, please don't let me focus on my will. Please don't let my will eclipse your will. Which one is bigger? That's a hard question. Which one is bigger in our lives? Which one's bigger to you? What you want or what God wants? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said, if anyone desires, look at that word desires. If anyone, another translation says wishes. If anyone desires, if anyone wishes, if anyone wants to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Which one's bigger? Your life, your will, your wishes, or what God wants? Sometimes we get ourselves pretty big in our minds. Sometimes we allow our desires to eclipse what God wants in our lives. It's time for us to look inside and say, is that where I am? The final thing I want you to think about this morning is that it is possible for me to allow the busyness of my life to eclipse His church. I can become so entangled in my daily activities, my weekly activities, that I lose sight of the fact that the church is to be my number one priority. Is that possible? Is your schedule busy? Even if your schedule's not busy, is it possible just to be so lethargic, so apathetic that we say, well, you know, my level of not caring is so high, I don't really have room for the church. Is it possible we can become so busy the church has no room in our lives? You know, a key verse, and there's so many that could have been put here, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, be ye imitators of God as dear children. What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be imitators of God. Do you know how we can imitate God? Look in the next verse, in Ephesians chapter 5. We're to be imitators of God in verse 1. How do we imitate God? Look in verse 2. In verse 2, we imitate God by doing this. He says, but look at Jesus. Look at Christ, who has loved us and given Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. If you're looking at Ephesians 5 and verse 2, you see the word us? Jesus loved us, gave Himself for us. Can I get you to substitute a word there for a minute? Who is Paul writing to? Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And he says to the church in Ephesus, would you please be imitators of God? How do we do that, Paul? Well, here's one way you imitate God. Verse 2. Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself up for the church. If I am to imitate Christ, what would I do? I need to love the church. The word love there is that word agape. That means it is absolutely selfless. It is absolutely elevating that which is loved above myself. I love the church not because of anything I get out of it. I elevate the church more important than myself, and I give myself up for the church. If we will do that, there is no way that the busyness of our life could ever eclipse the church. But which one is bigger in your life? Is your busy schedule, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. Are your commitments that you have made, or the commitments you think you have made, the things that you think you have to do, have those eclipsed the place the church needs to have in your home, in your life? Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we are not seeking His church first, we have allowed something else to eclipse it out of our lives. tomorrow, little old moon that is 400 times smaller in diameter, 400 times smaller than the sun, that little old moon is going to hide the sun. It's going to eclipse it to where it cannot be seen. How many of us have allowed material things that are temporary and earthly and focused on what I want because of my schedule? How many of us have allowed those little things of this life to hide, to eclipse those things that are of so much greater importance? Where are you today in your relationship with God? This morning we beg of you not to experience a fatal soul eclipse. Don't experience it here on this life, and don't experience it in heaven. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? What would happen? What would happen if Jesus came back before the total solar eclipse tomorrow? Would there be some people that are pretty disappointed? There's some people that have bought plane tickets so that they can be up there and see the total solar eclipse. There's some people that have bought those fancy glasses. Maybe you have too. They're sold out everywhere I looked. Maybe you bought those fancy glasses so you can look up at the sun and not blind your eyes. If you don't have those glasses, hear me, don't look at the sun tomorrow if you don't have those glasses, all right? But what if Jesus came back before we ever had that opportunity? Would you be ready? What if Jesus came back before you got home this afternoon? Would you be ready? You know, the Bible says to be ready, we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins, Jesus said. To be ready, we need to repent of our sins. Turn to God. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, Acts 3 and verse 19. To be ready, we need to confess the faith that's in our heart. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. To be ready, we need to be baptized. To be immersed in water so that the blood of Jesus can wash away every sin that we've ever committed. And to be ready, we need to faithfully put Him first in all things in our life. He needs to have preeminence, Colossians 1 verse 18 says. He needs to have first place. He needs to be the biggest thing in our life all of the time. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you a faithful Christian this morning? This church can help you to leave here this morning prepared for Jesus to come back. Why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.